Psalm 27, and I'll read only verse 4 with you. By the way, all you boys in here, I heard a little one up here pronouncing the words and following along in the hymn book. I didn't hear any of you. Now, am I just deaf or were you not singing? Okay, we'll talk about that later, all right? Psalm 27. David had one desire. Now there are other things in his life that he must be responsible for, and he took care of all that, but then his life still had was one thing pinpointed in his life. I just want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Would you bow with me as we pray? I trust you'll mention the preacher in your prayers for the Lord's help here. Our Father, it is a great mercy and grace having been bestowed upon us that we even desire to be here and that we are asking and looking for Thy presence. The manifest presence of Almighty God in our midst. We know Thee. We know much about Thee. But my Lord, Thou art infinite. And we'll always be learning. But You gave us time here in this life to add line upon line, precept upon precept, doctrine upon doctrine, teachings, all centered in Thee and Thy dear Son. And our teacher and instructor, the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that You might quiet our hearts, steal them in our minds. If it's pleasing, bring us into the reality. At least for a little while, into the reality of Thee. There is that within. God was nigh today. And that all Your children might be able to say that. It's not just us meeting here. It's getting to the very heart of our hearts. The intent and purpose, the longing, the desire. My Father, give wisdom, clarity, and unction to rightly setting forth Thy truth. And giving these discerning spirits to know That's what God said. As we read and as we hear, I pray you prepare each heart, Lord. Make them as thy dear sheep right now. And lead us more into the green pastures of a living presence in our midst. Lord Jesus, come and abide with us now. Be thou exalted and honored in our midst. Give help in preaching, Lord. Give help in worship. And give help to each of these. That we all might hear. And we might act with this, that again we will face this. And help us, Lord. Give us right hearing and right understanding. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and being there has a twofold purpose. Number one, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and number two, to inquire, not just in talking with, inquiring of, but in that inquiring, learning about His God. Sometime from mid to the late 19th century, he's not well known, only got a couple or three books, I think, in print today, may have a few more, I don't know, but it was Alexander Smellie. And in one of his devotions, he said, one day, we would understand our planet as we did our own country. Well, 100, 150 years later, he was proven to be correct in what he told the people back then. The reason that we have progressed to this point is that man has within his own heart, and when I use the word man, I certainly am not leaving out you ladies, just using it in general sense. Man has within his desire, in his heart, that longing desire to explore, find out. You know, you've all, most of you, raised or been around children from 2 years old when they are speaking well to the threes and later. One question after the other. Why do they do that? Because they are a human being and because God made us wanting to know. You and I live in what was then called the New World because a man named Columbus, some say others before him, but he had a desire to search. Of course, the kings and the queens back then, usually their motive was that they might find gold and riches in another land and resources, and sometimes they financed these. But the man had to have within a want to. What is over what is beyond that great body of water. Or there was Magellan, Ponce de Leon, searching for the fountain of youth. He thought he found it down in Florida, but he was mistaken. In our own land, one of the great explorers that America had was Daniel Boone, from youth up. And when he got married, he said, "I have a gun, I have a horse, and I have a wife. I ought to be satisfied." And that may have for a while, but he went out searching from Pennsylvania, got down into Kentucky, mapping out, exploring, Lewis and Clark from here in the east all the way to the west coast. In our lifetime, man touched down, set foot on the moon. And now we've got satellites out there sending back pictures of Mars and stars light years away. All of it's based upon this. Man just wants to know. Fallen man, he still has a heart and he has a mind to search, to explore, and to learn. Why am I here? How did I get here? What's the purpose of me being here? Does death end life and everything for me? If that be answered in the affirmative, yes, death ends, then you and I are no better than the animals out there. But because there is a distinct difference between you and animals, is an inquiring mind. I think there used to be in magazine. I never read it, but I think it went with a little ad, "Inquiring Minds Want to Know," the inquirer. So, a growing youngster, not a philosopher, not a psychologist, he just knows, she knows there's more to life down the road. And so they grow up in the home and they think, 16, I'll get my license. One day I'll have my own automobile. Then I'll be free to explore. Graduation comes, you thought, well, that's another milestone, and then I'm on my own. But there was more to life than you graduating, than the family, and then the career. And when all that, you have achieved all that, there is still that within that is speaking to you loudly. What's the purpose of me being here? I achieved all the goals that I had as a young boy or a young girl back home. I achieved all that. Now I sit here with my own family. And I'm still wondering the purpose. And a good number of these that are in our land today, not nearly as many as there were 25, 30 years ago, but a good number of young people, they have been handed a little Jesus. And once they were handed this, then they were told, "Now you are a Christian." And for a brief moment, there was satisfaction within, but that soon wore off. And you return to the same emptiness before any of this. Man's just a restless being within. All that are living and got a mind, right mind, they know there's more. I've mentioned to you the little book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. If it's still in print, it would be a good read. It's just a small paperback by Jeremiah Barrows. Excellent little book. It's hard for us to get to that contentment, finding that rare jewel. This restlessness, this desire to know, this looking down the road, this wanting more to lie than what I've got. And then these were handed little Jesus, but it was like an idol that they just stuck in their pocket. And they pull it out, but it could not communicate with them. It could not provide nourishment. It could not provide anything to life that made life seem like this is the purpose of my living. You had that little idol in your pocket. Now when we speak of a divine, majestic presence, similar to what John was talking about, you can't explain it. If you've run into it, you would have much trouble telling someone else what it was. But that's within every child of God born again, and that's in every child born. But many of them do not have the right guidance and pointing them to the Lamb of God. Okay, I got this idol. I've been attending church for a while. It was good. I got something from it. But then it ceased to be, except there might be a little sensual excitement in these places that call themselves churches, but omit the gospel and God nowhere around. And man of all God's creatures, he is the only one that cannot find his purpose or satisfaction in life here apart from a divine encounter. And from that encounter, a lifetime of searching to know more of the one that you for some time were brought into his presence. Man's the only one of God's created things. Look at the animal world. They live for nothing more than for that which God created them. You take the cattle out there in the fields. Their one object in living is feeding themselves. And if they calve one day, now they got two purposes. And as long as their calf is near, then they can fulfill the desire of hunger to fill themselves. Not only do they have that appetite to fill, they've got a calf now to protect. There are a lot of dog breeds, different breeds. Each has its own characteristics, its own needs, and it's satisfied if those needs are met. Some are strictly pets. A few weeks back, I was able to go with the children over to the state championship where Keeley's team had placed in the district that got to participate. There were a lot of pets there. Dogs on leashes, staying close to their owner, the one that looked after them. One or two I saw in a buggy. One or two I saw in a contraption that the owner was wearing, and they were stuck in it with their heads sticking out. But there was one dog out of place over there that day. It was a red bone hound. That dog just has a nature of running and hunting. And you could almost sense the maybe nervousness or energy built up within it. And the man had him on a 5-foot leash. The others were, that's what their breed was for, pets, but not this one. And the owner was keeping that dog from fulfilling his purpose in life. A man was made in the image of God. But God breathed into that man and he became a living soul. And the only place that the creatures created by God can ever find fulfillment is getting back to their Creator. Not performing religious duties, though that might be a part of your daily routine, but they're far more than daily routine. You're looking for an intimacy with your Creator, with your Lord. But see, all of us came into the world due to Adam and Eve's sin. Due to the fall, we came into the world empty within. That's why the little ones are thinking the next thing, the next birthday, the next age, the next thing in life. Then surely that will bring a purpose to my being here. In a Christian, it just produces a desire. Explore. Find. Search. But you've got a purpose in searching. You don't read your Bible because that's what Christians do. You don't pray because that's what Christians do, or you don't attend in the assembly because that's what Christians do. You do these things for one purpose, to find God in prayer. In the Bible. In the assembly. And that emptiness can only be fulfilled by the Creator. And you search, and you search in 100 different areas and never find your purpose for being here until you're brought into an awareness of a presence you can't describe. You know it is real, and yet the next day the devil may tell you, nothing to that. Just something you ate lifted you into that frame, and he'll rob you if you're not careful. Well, you've got a desire for the unknown, Christian or not. And if a man lives in a society where the knowledge of God or the truth of God is declared and the Spirit of God works within, then meeting God, meeting His Creator,
That individual sets out for a lifetime of seeking, looking for satisfaction that can only be found in meeting God. Where did I get that? David's desire. You just want to be there, David? No, I have a purpose in wanting to be there. I want to behold Him. I want communion with Him. Inquiring of Him, God answering, responding to my questions. And David's desire to dwell in the house of God was due to his soul sometime in the past having encountered a living God. Remember what God told Ezekiel about people, His people? He said, one day I'll take away the stony heart and I'll give them a heart of flesh. And they shall know me. And Paul said, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation or a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But that new created being within, it's like the little one asking the questions. You're always seeking, you're always asking. Because there's a spiritual appetite within that you never had before. And you're looking for nourishment not merely in the letter of the Word, but within holy bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. Christ told the devil, he shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The only place for sanity and security and hope, and the only place where there's a little glimmer of light and peace. David said, for me, it's in the house of the Lord. When I get away from there, I'm faced with warfare. I'm faced with all these responsibilities. And in the house of God, meeting God, then there is this awareness brought to that new heart that God gave me. And I can leave with peace, with hope, with security. That is if truth is presented to me, again, not just in the letter. I mean, you all can read everything that I tell you from Scripture. You can go home and read that. You can read it and never come here. But you're looking for more than what's beyond the letter. And you're looking for the power of the Spirit to open up the book and declare a living God to you. Now turn with me to Proverbs 5. I do hope and pray that God might make this effectual, that you might in this have a word from the Lord. I've told you before, my time beyond my own private reading, daily devotion, and prayer, then my time is spent for the sheep. And by the time the week's over, unless I come here midweek, by the time the week's over, I got 4 or 5 half pages of scribbling. Sometimes a verse that I read might fit that I'm looking for. And then my duty on Saturday is to take all that I've scribbled in the many different places and try to put it back in the right place and where it belongs. And I couldn't get there yesterday. And so I well, I always must depend upon the Lord, but sometimes more than others. That's why I'm trusting that in your prayers for Seth, and an understanding that God will grant that in the study this morning. Proverbs chapter 5. Solomon, in verse 3, is talking about the lips of a strange woman. A drop is a honeycomb. Proverbs 5:3. And her mouth is smoother than oil. But now there's a price you will pay. Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of hell. Now there are two women in Scripture. One of them is a harlot, and the other is the bride of Christ. The religious make up the harlot. No life in her from God. The converted make up the bride of Christ. And though he might have sounded like he was giving you that which comes from just natural life, and he was, but if you go on and read all the chapter, you'll see that he's looking far beyond just a woman down there in the red light district. Verse number 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children. Depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest I give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. In verse 11, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And when the end comes, then you look back and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear of them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil. Where were you, child of God? In the midst of the congregation and the assembly. One day, if I follow the path of the harlot, and religion that does not have life in it and does not bring me to the source of all life, God, the Lamb of God, brought by the Spirit. If I live like this, then in the end, somebody's going to say, you despise correction. You hated instruction. You did not belong to the bride of Christ, for our Lord Himself said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. It's not you gaining something in your head today, and it's more than you gaining something in your heart. It's you gaining enough in these areas that you have a new path to walk in, a new direction. David didn't have a desire to get inside a building, a steeple, wherein the ordinances of God were followed. Sure, that's where the saints must meet God, but that's his whole purpose. Desire to dwell, to abide, to live in the house of the Lord. For there's where my life is enriched. There's where my life finds a greater fulfillment and a greater source of peacefulness, and surety, in whom all the building, builded together, you build it together, if you're in Christ. Paul said, Ephesians 5:22, for an habitation of the Spirit of God. If we can't get there, then we have no right to call ourselves a New Testament church. It's a place for the habitation of God. David's purpose, unlike the Pharisees, we got to take care of the temple. That they missed the true temple of God. One last place, if you'd turn with me to Revelation 18. Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Opposite of the house of God, where God dwells, where God meets with His people. And from this harlot, verse 3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Across the country, now on the outskirts of cities, and now down in the middle, these large buildings that call themselves churches. Nothing more than a den and habitation of devils and of every unclean and hateful bird. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. She's building these places, she's traded in this and that, and the merchants of the world have gotten rich over her. Not the house of God, not the bride of Christ. She's Satan's harlot. And all the desire within David could only be met or fulfilled in a place where God dwelt. But since God has been removed from the world for the most part, the man that God created to find him, to live in his presence, he doesn't know how to get there anymore. They've been lied to. They've been handed false gods and false Christ. And it didn't help mankind when in print came out a book by Darwin, The Evolution of the Species. And he rid our world of God. He said, One day climbing up out of the ocean was a little one-sail animal. And over millions and millions of years, it began to develop legs and hands and feet. It had another billion or so years, and it got to be where it could stand up on its two larger limbs. And at the opposite end of the foundation in which it stood upon, there was this, what man calls his head. And that little animal now has the ability to process, to do so much. And now it's become an intellectual giant, thanks to Mr. Darwin. And we've almost reached the end of the evolution of man. For you've got in America and across the world mega billionaires that in their mind they have reached the pinnacle of evolution. And now they want to be lords over everybody. You can't do this. You can't go there. You can't say this. You must say this. You've got to quit eating meat, for cattle are polluting our environment and destroying the world. Go out and get ants and crickets and rodents and get your protein from there. And they expect everybody to bow to them because of evolution. We couldn't have gotten to this place if our minds was not greater than other people. And now we demand of you, do like us. And we all, as Christians now, we're all like a little sparrow. It can fly off the earth a few feet, a few yards. It can build its nest in trees, high bushes. And it feeds. It feeds on the earth. But within every Christian, there is that within that's similar to an eagle. You're always desiring to mount up with wings as an eagle and soar in the heavenlies. Your soul was made for upper regions where God dwells. It was made for the house of God, where there your soul can get to those upper atmosphere. And you leave the world behind and you soar for a while. There in the house of God, you're not just collecting information about God, but that place becomes like the tabernacle of old. God said, I'm going to put my ark in there, cover it with a mercy seat, and on each side of it is the two cherubims with their faces inward. There will I meet and commune with thee. Our purpose is that. Getting here for certain, but striving to be brought into an awareness of that you cannot explain. Indescribable presence of a living God. That's what that in that tabernacle. Now, if they didn't have a heart, they couldn't get there. A heart given by God. The natural Jew got in the physical temple, and that was the end of their pursuit. But they never found the person that the temple represented. Now, children, if getting to the temple was the purpose of the apostles, Paul never would have left it and went next door from the synagogue, I think to Justice House, joined hard to the synagogue. He'd stayed in the synagogue. But the synagogue didn't have what he was searching for. Now you and I have learned to live upon a mere promise that God made us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I'll be there. Now we live. Brother Jean's one day, and I think her dad was taking his little son out, and the little fella, before he got out the back door, turned around and said, "Y'all pray for me." And in the first church I pastored, every Sunday, this went on for 6 months, there was a little girl, she was three, cute as a button. She'd always come crawl up my lap, and but when I started preaching and she had to sit back with her mom and dad, she was going out. For 6 months, he carried her out. The sad thing is, he didn't get far enough away from the church. All of us heard her out there. But she turned out to be a little jewel. That's just our nature, children. All right, I was at Justice House. Paul left the synagogue. You and I have learned, I hope you haven't. Religion's learned to live upon a mere promise God made. There's no food in that promise. Where two or three are gathered together, I'll be there. No food there. Only food is if you are brought into that realization. My God was there. I met God. And when Eve birthed that first son, she wasn't resting upon a mere letter of a promise. When she birthed that son, she said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." And when the Lord says that I'll meet with you, if two or three of you gather, I'll meet with you. Does that mean everybody there? No. You've got to have a right heart, a right purpose. You've got to soar above the old lower atmosphere of this world. And when the Lord began withdrawing His Spirit and false gods were brought into the pulpits and declared, then eventually the churches and the evangelists were not seeing any results. And they said, "Well, now this can't go on." And they put their heads together and they came up with this method of getting people saved. And they enticed the young ones to walk an aisle just to a mere letter of the Word. Now look at this verse. God said, you believe that, don't you? Let's turn over here and look at this next verse. And those folk, those people, some of them young children, are convinced because an adult has pointed out from the Word of God what God said. But they never found God in His Word. Now they got to go back into the world living as if they're Christians, wanting to know, well, what's the purpose of life? What's the end result of being a Christian? It's that which you daily seek for, and that which we corporately seek for when we gather together in His house. And children, you that are born again, part of the bride, you met the Christ of the Scriptures. You met the God of the Bible. And not just your Bible. If that's where your head stops, you gain nothing. And some days it will stop there because that's the way God works. It's like some days, we probably won't see the sun today. That's the way God works. But the sun's still up there because we're still here. If the sun wasn't there, then we're finished. Now in closing, Philippians, you don't have to turn there. It was one of the last four books that the Apostle Paul wrote. And he wrote this from a jail cell in Rome. It was written some 30 years after he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. 30 years later. And Paul writes in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. Saul, didn't you meet the risen Christ on the Damascus Road? I met Him. Sure. I was introduced to Him. A personal relationship was begun a few days later when a man laid his hands on my head and the scales over my eyes covering them fell. I met Him. But Saul knew salvation's like a marriage. You remember, for 3 years after salvation, he didn't speak to anybody. He was out in the desert where God carried him. And he saw, for the first time ever, the intimate relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ with His people. A holy matrimony. And Paul comes back later and he writes about this. And he knew, 30 years after he met Christ, he knew, though salvation is related to a marriage, it's not like these today where each say I do and then go their separate ways. This is where you go home with Christ. This is where He lives, in your house. And we'll never have a church house where God dwells until we have family houses where God meets with you from time to time. True salvation is nothing more, nothing less than meeting the Lord Jesus in true repentance and faith. And living with Him the rest of your life. 30 years later, Paul said that I might know Him. Paul was wed to this infinite, majestic, as I've said, indescribable, to the world unknown, to the harlot church unknown being that was pleased to reveal Himself in three persons. But then throughout all eternity, you'll see God and the Godhead in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one you're wed to. And from Damascus throughout life, he'll die shortly now in that old, removed from that old jail cell. He'll die. But even in dying, he still won't know him. That probably condemns most of us right there. If you're honest with God, you've got to go home and say you lost that. You had it 6 months, a year, a few years back. And we've got to labor to get it back. John told you he didn't know what it'd be like for the church to be prepared. I don't either, but I know this will be a part of it. When dwelling and living with the Lord Jesus through the week, you all come together to inquire, to commune, to fellowship with. In fellowship with each other, it's enriched because of your fellowship with the Lord. And you come prepared to meet the God of the house. And you come to pick up enough that might encourage you to go home and seek God throughout your week. Keep up your devotions, but let not your devotions be the end of your pursuit. Read the Holy Scripture, but let not reading be the end of your pursuit. Meet with the saints, but let not meeting be the end. Get back to the one you claim to be united to. And pray that we as a church get there.